Good day, friends. We come to you with our Bible open with a program of Bible truth. May God bless you as you enter into this study with us today. And we trust that as we take a few minutes with our Bible that we'll gain something that will be of great benefit. Before we open the Bible today, I'd like to go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. If you'd care to join us and can, feel free to do so. Let us pray. Our Father and our God who art in heaven, we come into thy sanctified presence with glad hearts that thou hast spared our lives throughout the past days, and we now have an opportunity of opening the greatest book in the world and studying therefrom. We pray today, Father, for those who are in sin, that they may hear the gospel, believe it, and obey it, to be cleansed of all unrighteousness, and to go on faithfully to eternal life. We pray for those who are sick, and those who mourn the loss of loved ones. And Father, as we pray for the leaders of our nation and nations of the world, may there be some means by which men will recognize the truth of thy word. May we do everything we can to make them conscious of it. May they realize that truly to gain peace with thee is essential, the proper priority. For when we gain peace with you, then we're in a position to see more clearly, to learn how to be at peace with people who are about us. May the influence of thy word be found in the peace table and in the discussions that are found for peace in the world. We ask thee to be with those who make this broadcast possible, and we trust that much good may be done, that thy name may be glorified. Help us now in our proclamation. This we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. I was looking the other day at Acts, the second chapter, in verse 40, where I found this interesting statement by the Apostle Peter, when he said, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." You know, I was talking to a lady in her home in Pennsylvania a good many years ago, and she said, "I was really surprised to find that verse in the Bible." And I said, "Well, why should you be surprised?" "Because," she said, "I really thought that there was nothing that we could do to save our soul." But you see, when you really look at a person putting his or her faith to work, they're going to have to do something. Now, the point is very clear that we're not saved by our own righteousness. Paul told Titus the evangelist, and I'm sure he wanted him to preach this, in Titus 3 and 5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done are we saved, but it's according to his mercy that we are saved." And might I say unto you that the grace of God enters into the picture? But the point is simply this, that when Peter said, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation," he had already told these people what to do to be saved from their sins. You see, when he brought this sermon to its climax, he made it very clearly taught in verse 36 of Acts 2, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now Peter had just said, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation," without telling these people what to do. Then you see it would have been altogether different. But he told them what to do in verse 38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." He also said in verse 39, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And then the famous 40th verse, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation." It's much like Jesus offering that wonderful invitation that we restate time and time again as we go about the country preaching the gospel. It's found, of course, in the familiar 11th chapter of Matthew in verse 28, when he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And then he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls." See, Jesus told them to come unto him, and he would give them rest. But you'll notice he also said to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, in this sense, we understand that when an individual takes the yoke of Christ upon him, and this would be by complete obedience, then we're aware of the fact that he's doing what Peter told these people to do, save yourselves from this untoward generation. I feel that as we meditate upon this Acts 2 and 40, that we ought to say this for your consideration. If you're listening to this broadcast today, and let's say that you're away from the Lord, you've never become a Christian, and you've been pondering this, you've been realizing that you ought to change your life, You believe there's a God, but you never recognize Christ as the Son of God. And there are many voices that are telling you what to do. And I simply want to say that you may look upon what we're offering just as another voice. But may I make this comparison? You see, in the 16th chapter of Matthew, we talked about to some extent on one of the past broadcasts, we mentioned about the question asked by Jesus, "Whom do men say that I am?" And then there were a lot of different opinions, a lot of voices. I can hear some of them saying, "Well, this is John the Baptist come back from the dead." Or this is Jeremiah, one of the Old Testament prophets. Or it's Elijah, clear back there in the Old Testament. Or it's one of the prophets. You see, there were many voices telling who Jesus really was. But the Apostle Peter, after Jesus had asked, "Whom do you say that I am?" to his immediate apostle body, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, what made the words of Peter any more valid than the words of the man on the street, so to speak? It wasn't a case that the man on the street was dishonest. I'm sure that doesn't really enter into the picture because he'd expressed really who he thought Jesus to be. But you see, in this case, the Apostle Peter was offering what was revealed to him because Jesus said in the 17th verse of Matthew 16, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So when we actually talk to you, if we're staying with the Bible, if we're really taking the Bible teaching, then you see it's not our voice, it's not our opinion, but it's that which has been revealed in the Word of God that we're offering to you. Now back to the point that I'm projecting here. I find that there are people who are sometimes told, "Well, now you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved." Now that's Bible. But a lot of times people are not told, maybe the people who are talking to them don't know. They're not really told what is embraced in the word belief. We've analyzed this before, and I want to say something about it on the broadcast today. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ or to have faith in him goes much farther, friends, than just announcing that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, the devil's already done that. And it was reminded, people were reminded in the first century in the writings of the Holy Spirit, the devils also believe and tremble. I think people can see that. Well, then how much farther are we going to go than just what we say with our mouth? Well, we should go with complete obedience because Bible faith, true belief, implies not alone believing that Christ is the Son of God, but also putting our trust in him, a love for him, and without hesitation to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, these people apparently got the lesson because when he offered these many other words and told them to save your souls or yourself from this untoward generation, save your soul. Be able to do that which will save your soul. It simply goes on to say, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." See, this puts baptism in a very proper perspective. When these people were baptized, were they saving their own souls? Were they saving themselves from sin? Surely not by their own arrangement. But they believed, I'm sure, from their heart that what Peter told them was true. And since he spoke under the influence of the Holy Spirit and told them that they were to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, these people gladly received the word and were baptized. One point on that, when it mentions in Acts 2:41, "Then they that gladly received his word." Now really, whose word was it? Peter was speaking, but it was the word of God. Just as it had been revealed to Peter back in the 16th chapter of Matthew during Jesus' personal ministry that he was the Son of God, so the teaching that men should turn from their sin and repentance, that they should be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, that was also revealed to the Apostle Peter. So we have this revelation before us on the broadcast today. The Lord doesn't have to reveal anything specially to you or to me from heaven for us to know what to do to be saved. When Peter spoke about this at a later time in his wonderful writing, namely, you'll find it in 2 Peter 1 and 3. He spoke of the power of the Holy Spirit as the divine power of God.
And he simply said in 2 Peter 1 and 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now this was given to the apostles by the Holy Spirit. Truly the complete revelation of God was offered to them. How is it given to us today? Through this wonderful teaching. Our faith comes by hearing the Word of God according to Romans 10:17. So when you read Acts 2 and 40, and I hope you will, and you think about it, what does it mean to you to save yourselves from this untoward generation? The untoward generation is the generation of sin, the people who are about us. You have an opportunity to obey from your heart that form of doctrine to be made free from sin. Let your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ to bring you this broadcast help you. Be in the house of the Lord. Tell a friend or neighbor about the broadcast, and may God bless you as you obey that wonderful truth.